I want to spend some time this last day of our school year together to challenge you about your summer break. I want to challenge you to read your Bible every day this summer break. And I wonder if you'll take up the challenge. You're going to have time to do this. You have a totally different routine after today. And for about 100 days, plus or minus, you know, some days, you can give yourself to reading your Bible faithfully. We've just gotten done with 180 days or so of studying God's Word. Will you now take up the challenge to read it on your own a little bit every day? I want to help you with that. I want to help challenge you and inspire you toward that. I want to give you some tips that I've found useful in my own life and in talking to others, and to help you with taking up this challenge of reading God's Word every day. The first element that's necessary in establishing a daily Bible reading routine is desire. Do you want to read God's Word? You have to want to do it. I mean, there's no sense going any further with me counseling you about this if you just don't want to do it. This isn't something you should ever do out of a cold sense of duty. It's not just, you know, checking it off your list so that it makes you feel good or something. We don't read our Bibles in order to pacify our consciences or in order to satisfy other adults in our lives and make them think, oh, we're spiritual or something. You have to desire the God's Word in order for this to be successful. So I ask you, do you want to read your Bible? I'm convinced that a lot of you do. You want to do better about this. And you just need to be encouraged and you need to be helped toward it. You wish you were more regular in your devotions, don't you? I think a lot of you wish that. You wish you were more regular in your Bible reading. You wish you were more regular in your prayer. And so you want to be wise. You want to know God. You want to overcome sin. You want to know the precious promises of God. And you know that reading your Bible is going to be the key. I think a lot of you have a desire to read God's Word. Some of you don't have this desire. And I want to warn you that that is a very bad sign. The Bible says that when a person truly becomes a Christian, it's not just the fact that they've turned over a new leaf or they've just decided to, you know, live according to a certain set of values or according to a certain set of standards of behavior. The Bible says that when a person becomes a Christian, that they are new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. They had the life of God in their souls. They're born again. They have spiritual life. And so, because they're indwelled by God's Spirit, and because God's seed dwells within them, they have a desire to know God and to know His Word. Their actions don't always meet up with that desire, and that's the difficulty of the Christian life. We have renewed desires. We have new wants, but we still have this flesh that resists us doing what we want to do. And so I'm not saying that a Christian is somebody who just always reads their Bible and has no problem at all reading their Bible. That's silly. That's not what happens. But a Christian does want to read their Bible. And they're disappointed in themselves when they see a lack of regularity in their relationship to God. So if you don't have any desire for God's Word, you need to examine yourself. You need to give some serious thought to whether you are a Christian or not, whether you've been born again, whether you've been renewed by the Holy Spirit or not. A Christian has this desire. They struggle, they fail, they fall in it, but they want to. I ask you, do you want to read God's Word? A regular habit of Bible reading is going to begin with desire, wanting to know God's Word. But desire is not all it takes. I mean, it's not just like wanting it is going to fix the problem. We also need a strategy, right? If If all it took were desire, if that's the only thing it took to be regular in your Bible reading, then all Christians would be regular Bible readers. The fact is, a lot of Christians do not regularly read their Bibles. And it's because they lack strategy. They lack a strategy. This is a very difficult habit to begin and to maintain. But if you strategize, that will help you overcome the resistance of your flesh. Okay, so the first thing that you need is a plan. You don't want to just be aimless in this and just say, I'm going to start reading my Bible tomorrow, and then tomorrow morning just open up your Bible to wherever it flops open or something. You need a plan. And so you need to say, I'm going to read this over the course of the next month or over the course of the summer. Okay, so let me just give you some tips here. There are about as many chapters in the Gospels as there are days of the summer. It usually works out pretty closely. So you could read one chapter a day for the summer, and by the time we see each other in September, you will have read through all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, wouldn't that be a great thing to do this summer? And how long would that take, really? To read one chapter every day. And so you could read the Gospels through. Or you could add to that, you could say, I'm going to read a chapter of the Gospels and a psalm. There are 150 psalms. This is about 100 days in the summer. So you would get through two-thirds of the psalm and all the Gospels if all you did was a chapter in the Gospels and a psalm. That'd be a great plan. Okay, so strategize something, you know, strategize. You could start in the epistles of Paul and read through them a chapter a day. You know, you could start in Romans chapter 1 and do Romans, and then 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. And going through all those books, you'd get all the way through them if all you did was one chapter a day for the summer, and you'd still have some more days left. Okay, so take a plan. Just take a section of the Bible, maybe a section that you don't know very much about. Maybe you want to be real ambitious and say, I'm going to read Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel or something. Okay, take a section and have a plan. Have a plan. The second thing you're going to need is a time and a place. Okay, you need somewhere where you go that limits distractions. And you need a time that you're going to do this faithfully every day. It may be that you could do it in the morning when you first get up. It may be rather you want to do it in the evening before you go to bed. Different people have different personalities and are better in the morning or better in the evening. You could have a favorite place that you go to. In the summertime, you go outside. You might have a place in your yard that you go every day for your Bible reading. You might have a favorite chair in a room in your house, in a den or something. You know, you want to have a time that you do this, and you want to have a certain place that you go to. That'll really help you to have a time and a place. Okay, and then you need a routine. You need the same thing every day. Okay, routine and habit can really be your friend in this. Okay, if you're a coffee drinker, you can make your coffee, you can have your coffee, right? You can, you know, go to that place and go to that favorite chair, right? And you can have your coffee and you can read your Bible, and every day have a routine in this. Okay, so you need to strategize. You really do. You need to strategize. Okay, so you have a plan. What are you going to read? How much every day? And then you need to have a time and a place and a routine established every day. A third thing that's really helpful in establishing a Bible reading time is accountability. If you can just ask someone else to help you with this, you know, if you have a sibling or a parent, most of your parents would be thrilled with this. If you went to your parents this afternoon and said, Mom, Dad, I want to read my Bible every day this summer. I'm going to start tomorrow morning. Will you help me? Will you every couple days ask me what I read in my Bible to help me keep accountable? So that those days when I don't feel like reading, maybe I'll read anyway just to have something to tell you. You could have a friend. You could have, you know, a daily or weekly phone call or FaceTime or texting with a friend, and you could share with each other what you've been reading in your Bible, right? That'd be great accountability. That's what Christian friends are supposed to do for each other, something like that, right? They're supposed to be helping each other in their walk with the Lord and encouraging one another in their Bible reading. So, you know, your parents, a friend, tell them, this is my resolution for the summer. I want to read my Bible every day. Keep me accountable. Ask me what I've been reading. I'll do the same for you if you want me to, and we can do this together. Okay, so accountability. All right, so we said it starts with a desire. Then you need to strategize. It's really helpful to have accountability in this. Now, here's the fourth thing I need to warn you about, okay? You need to plan to fail. Just plan on fail. You're going to fail in this. You are not going to watch this and say, I want to do that, and then just be consistent every single day of the summer. It just, okay, we're human beings. We're going to fail. And a lot of times, people will not start reading their Bible because they're afraid of failing. A lot of people are like this. They're perfectionists. And if there's any chance at failing, they won't even start. They're not going to start until there's a guarantee of success. But life's not like that, and human beings aren't like that. We are frail and weak human beings, and we're going to fail. And so just go ahead and plan on failing right now. You're going to fail. And when you do mess up and you go a week without reading your Bible, here's what you do. The next day, you start reading your Bible. Just start where you left off and move on. Don't say, oh no, I have to read 10 chapters to get caught up. No, you don't. Okay? There's no one standing over your head saying, ah, you should be on chapter 15 by now and you're only on chapter 3. Okay? There's no one like that. Okay? So when you mess up, then you just start where you left off and you keep on going. Okay? The Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times and rises up again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, because the Lord upholds him with his hand. So when you do mess up, and you go a couple days, and you don't read your Bible, and you wish you had, and you're really beating yourself up about that, here's what you do. You just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am sorry that I have not prioritized reading your Bible like I wanted to. Oh, Lord, please help me. And then you start reading your Bible. Okay? Okay, so plan on failing and don't let your perfectionism get in the way of this, okay? Don't let your perfectionism get in the way of this. Just start. Just start. And you're going to mess up probably and just restart again after you mess up. Okay? And then as you read, here's one final thing here. Claim God's promises regarding His Word. The Lord has a lot of things to say about His Word, and they are true. And if you will keep these in your mind, it will help inspire you to be a Bible reader. Like, you can remember all the things the Bible's compared to, right? I mean, what are the things that the Bible compares itself to? It compares itself to a sword. Okay, you and I are in a battle against the world and the flesh and the devil, and we've got to have a weapon in this battle or we're dead meat. Okay, what is our weapon? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible is like a sword. The Bible is light. The entrance of God's Word bringeth light. Open my eyes that thou mightest behold wondrous things, that I might behold wondrous things from thy law. Okay, so it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word is like a light. Claim that. I need light, O God. I am in darkness without you. And so inspire me to read Scripture based on that promise that your Word will give me light. God's Word is a seed. It's something that's planted in the hearts of men, and it yields a harvest at a later date. This is something especially that you need to keep in mind as a young person reading your Bible. One of the difficulties when you're a young person and you're seeking to read the Bible is it doesn't always seem relevant to you. And that is very understandable, actually, if you stop and think about it. How many life experiences have you had? I mean, it should be a given that you, at your age and your limited life experiences, are going to have a hard time tying God's Word to your life right now. Okay? That's a given. The more you grow, the more that you experience life, The more that you have setbacks and failures and successes and all the ups and downs of life, the better you'll be at applying God's word to your life and see the relevancy. At this point, you're not always going to see relevancy. You might read for 5 days in a row and find very little to attach to your life. So what you have to do is claim the promise that God's word is like a seed. And right now, I am planting God's word in my heart. And I'm looking out at my field, and I'm not seeing any sprouts. I planted seeds, but I don't see any fruit yet. And you need to say, but I'm okay with that. Because God promises it will bear fruit. God promises a harvest. That God's word is like a seed. Okay, so if you claim that kind of promise, that'll really help you when you get discouraged in your Bible reading by having a lack of, you know, attachment to your own life. Okay, so claim that promise. The God's word is like a food. It's like food. It's like food. You need food to grow. And a Christian needs the Bible in order to grow. And so Peter says, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so God's word is your spiritual food. You need it, and claim that promise. God's word is full of power. Full of power. Hebrews chapter 4 says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is what created everything in the whole universe. The word of God is what raised dead Lazarus back to life after he had been dead for 4 days. His word is powerful, so claim the power of his word. God's word is what cleanses our way and grants us peace and makes us wise into salvation. It's the what makes us, gives us the new birth. It begets us by his, he begets us by the word of truth. It, we're blessed in our deed as we continue in the perfect law of liberty. As we look into this mirror, we're changed into the same image. When it does not depart out of our mouth, we have good success. If we meditate on it day and night, we're be like a fruitful tree. The word of God converts the soul. There are so many promises about God's word, so many benefits to being a Bible reader. So I challenge you on this last day of the 2019-2020 school year, after we have spent all these days studying the Bible together, how about reading the Bible on your own? You don't want to be the kind of person who only studies the Bible in order to get a good grade, do you? I mean, what kind of hypocrite is that, really? I mean, stop and think about that. It is awfully hypocritical to be as diligent as most of you are in preparing for quizzes and tests and in memorizing God's word when we are together, and to give all of that time and all that attention to me teaching, and then be unwilling to, on your own, even read the Bible. That says, you know, you're saying, if you live like that, that you just live for the applause of other people, and you're just in it for yourself, and you just want good grades, and you don't really care about God at all. Well, how hypocritical is that? We don't want to be like that, do we? Be a Bible reader. Read your Bible this summer. Will you resolve right now that from this day all the way to the time we get back to school, that you are going to read God's word every day, and that you're going to claim God's promises, that kind of habit will cause great blessing in your life. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you'll be faithful in your Bible reading, and that the Lord will show you himself and bless you tremendously as you seek his face in the word. I've enjoyed teaching you this year. I've enjoyed getting to know so many of you. It was a difficult ending of our year, the last 10 or 11 weeks, having to do it this way. I'll look forward with great anticipation seeing you guys in September. Hope you have a great summer. Hope that you're safe. Hope that you have good time with family. Hope that you're healthy. And I hope that we get to see each other in September. And I'm really hoping we don't have to wear masks. What do you think? I hope we don't have to wear masks in September. We'll see. You guys take care.